You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Praise be Jesus Christ. Good morning and welcome to Mission Matters Live, a new program aimed at promoting a spirit of mission among the people of God. I'm Sister Madge Karecki, a sister of St. Joseph of the Third Order of St. Francis and the director of the Office for Mission Education and Animation, Fostering the New Evangelization. Our producer today is Liz Johnson, our engineer is Michael, and my special guest today is Father Sergius Robleski, a Franciscan friar of the Assumption Province. Good morning, Father Sergius.
Good morning.
Can you tell us something about yourself?
Everything?
Well, let's keep it to the basics.
Well, I'm from Chicago, from Holy Trinity Parish. And I became a Franciscan, then ordained, and I've been on mission, home mission in a ghetto, Chicago ghetto, uptown, and then foreign mission for 20 years in South Africa. And my main interest has always been promoting Bible reading among the laity.
Where are you now?
I'm in Cedar Lake, Indiana.
And what brings you to Chicago today?
Oh, I'm on vacation.
Wow. Well, we're going to put you to work.
Okay.
We want to do some talking about mission with you. Most people think of mission only as someone going to another country to be a missionary. But today, missiologists, that strange word that people really have hardly ever hear, missiologists are those who devote themselves to the study and promotion of mission, speak about the Missio Dei, God's mission, and how we participate in it. Is there something in the Bible, you know, that can help us understand this, since you're always working with the Word of God?
The missiologists are on target when they highlight Missio Dei, the mission of God, because they emphasize that the initiative comes from God. The whole missionary work comes from God. After all, he's the one who sent his son on mission, and his son in turn sends us on mission. This is very clearly stated in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, you will find two phrases that are so often repeated. One is, the one who sent me, that's the Father, and the one who was sent, that's the Son, Jesus. So that it's obvious that mission comes from God.
Okay, and how are we called to mission?
Well, just before we get into that, I'd like to mention why he sent him.
Okay.
And there are two reasons.
Good.
First of all, he sent him to reveal the Father. And that may strike you as a strange question, but it isn't. God the Father wants to be known, what he's like, and Jesus revealed him. You may recall in the Gospel of John how Philip asks Jesus to show him the Father, and he said, "That's a strange question. I've been with you a long time. Don't you understand that when you see me, you see the Father?" So that was the first reason why he came. Secondly, he came to reconcile us with the Father. And that's why he spoke of himself as the good shepherd who laid down his life. That's the way that he really saved us from eternal doom.
Okay. But aren't we a lot like Philip? We say, you know, well, show us the Father. And what about baptism?
Well, the baptism is important because it's baptism that empowers us and motivates us, indeed, to share the gospel with others, to go on mission. After all, we received the Holy Spirit in baptism, and the Holy Spirit's role is not just to sanctify us. He sanctifies us, and through us, He brings the gospel, the message of Jesus and Jesus Himself to those around us. So, and furthermore, the baptism is something that makes us members of the body of Christ, not just for ourselves. We now have to be concerned about bringing others into the body of Christ. This is an invitation that comes from the Father to all humanity. And we should be very concerned about bringing others, but we won't be able to do that unless we radiate Christ, giving a living witness to Him, and that brings people into the body of Christ.
Okay, but do you think Catholics are very concerned about that? We don't seem to have that kind of drive for mission.
Well, I'll talk about them when I come to conversion, but I want to say that that's a sad part. It's interesting that in the early church, it was really the ordinary people who expanded the church by word of mouth, by talking about it to others, by telling them about Jesus and what he had done for them. This is what really spread the word and interested a lot of people in Christianity. They were drawn to it.
You know, there's an author, Michael Green, who writes about the early Christian experience of mission, and he uses the phrase, gossiping the gospel, that Christians just went about and kept talking to people about Jesus.
That's right. But the reason why they did that was that they themselves were so in love with Jesus, so treasured Him, and understood what He wanted for all humanity, that they were motivated strongly to really spread the word.
Very good. Very good. So mission is a call for us today, as it was for the early Christians.
More than ever. Because today, as we're going to mention later, there are many who need to hear about Him.
Okay, it's time for a break now. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back to carry on our discussion about mission today.
Catholic Charities' Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Oh, no, 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 no,
Welcome back to Mission Matters Live. If you're just tuning in, I'm Sister Madge Korecki of the Office for Mission Education and Animation, Fostering the New Evangelization. My guest today in the studio with me is Franciscan Friar Father Sergius Robleski, and we are talking about what it takes to participate in God's mission in the world. Welcome back, Father. As we talked about the Gospel of John, and you gave us some good text reminding us of the fact that we are sent by Jesus to share in his mission, I was reminded of the story of the Samaritan woman. She seems to be a good example of someone who grew in a missionary spirit. Can you enlighten us about this?
That's very true. But first I have to say something about that word conversion, because otherwise the story won't be understood properly.
Sure.
We usually use that word conversion rather loosely. For instance, suppose a person leaves the Lutheran Church and joins the Catholic Church. We refer to that as a conversion. But the Bible doesn't talk about conversion in that way. By conversion, to understand it, you have to go back to baptism, because baptism brings about a conversion. Perhaps you may recall what happens on Ash Wednesday. The priest sprinkles you with ashes on the forehead, and he says, "Die to sin and live the gospel."
Okay.
That's conversion, turning away from sin and turning to the Lord Jesus to walk in his footsteps. That's conversion. And to be a missionary, you have to be converted. Without that conversion, you will not have the zeal, nor will you understand why you should be on mission at all, to share him whom you have now discovered and love. Now, the Samaritan woman is a very good example of that, because notice that at the beginning, Jesus brings her to a confession. She confesses her sins.
Yes.
And once she confesses her sins, then the Heavenly Father draws her to accept him as the one who was sent by the Father, the Messiah. And then she goes into town and enthusiastically tells the people about how this man really is the Messiah. She came to that conclusion because he knew so much about her, only a prophet could do that.
Yes.
There you have the whole idea, conversion and mission. You have to be converted to be on mission.
And then what happens once she tells the townspeople?
Well, the interesting thing is this, that they were not satisfied with what she said about him. They wanted to hear him personally.
Okay.
And so when they heard him personally, their reaction was, and they said that to her, "Whoa, we have heard him. Now we are convinced." That's more important.
Yeah.
And that's why people who want to be converted have to go to the Word of God.
Okay.
That to encounter him speaking, that's the way you really change, die to sin, and begin to live the gospel.
This reminds me of the fact that the late Pope John Paul II, now blessed, has said that everything starts with an encounter with Christ.
That's exactly what we understand the Samaritan woman's story to mean.
Yes, yes.
The other thing we have to say about conversion is that it has to be ongoing. We don't change just by going through the ritual. You don't change. There are changes immediately. The Spirit is given and sin is taken away, and you are now empowered, enlightened. But a lot has to follow, and the whole process of becoming more like Christ is a process. You fail, and you start all over again, and this is the way it goes. How long? Until you die. That's how long
the
ongoing conversion goes on.
Yes, yes. It's a lifelong process.
It's a lifelong process.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that because it's that kind of a process, you have two sacraments. One is the sacrament of reconciliation, because you fail. You violate your baptismal commitment. So you need to go into the sacrament of reconciliation. And the other sacrament is the Eucharist, which empowers you to again follow him, to again model yourself on his life. That's the way it goes.
Yes. And as we're experiencing that, we need the help of the Eucharist. Huh?
That's right. Because in the Eucharist is where we not only encounter Jesus, but there is an experience of deep union, although I shouldn't use the word experience because it isn't always an experience. You don't always feel it. There are times when you just, well, you know you're with him, and that's about it. And there may be all sorts of distractions, but the union is there and keeps getting reinforced, provided that in your daily life you are aware of him, walk in his presence, and live accordingly. Walking in his footsteps.
Yes, yes. That certainly is necessary if we're going to have missionary zeal, because it's too easy to get discouraged when things get difficult.
Things will be difficult. There's no such thing as being on mission without facing a lot of difficulties, confrontations, criticism, failures, and all the rest. Jesus, after all, was disappointed. That's why he said, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida." He was preaching and it went in one ear and out the other. Even though they saw miracles, not only the word, you know, the truth, but the miracles also.
Yeah.
He was disappointed.
We're just like the people in the gospel. It takes a lot of time for the message to get through to us.
It sure does.
Hey.
That's everybody's story.
That's what we have in common. But we know now that if we're going to participate in God's mission, then we have to have this closeness to Christ, and that comes only when we're serious about conversion and deepening our life in Christ with prayer.
That closeness to Christ is not something automatic. You have to practice the presence of God. You have to be prayerful. As Paul says, ceaselessly prayerful. You have to be in communion with the Spirit. I won't go into the rest of it, but all those spiritual exercises, as we refer to them, are necessary to make us not only aware, but committed and active.
Yes.
Oriented entirely towards Jesus and his cause.
That really is a lifelong work.
Right.
We've got to be that.
You've got to have a lot of love to do that.
Okay. We're going to break now, and we'll be back. Stay tuned.
You know, in their 20s or 30s, adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing gifts in many ways.
However connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single.
It's an opportunity for them to meet good people their own age.
To deepen their faith and spirituality.
To make connections between faith and everyday life.
And explore the things that matter most.
It's a chance for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they in turn can pass it to others.
We encourage you to personally invite young adults to Theology on Tap. It begins July 10th at locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll take you to the dedication of the Healing Garden at Holy Family Parish in Chicago. We'll attend a Catholic Charities photo exhibit with a unique twist. And we'll celebrate the 25th anniversary of Filipino ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
For for several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Mission Matters Live. I'm Sister Madge Karecki from the Office of Mission Education and Animation, and I'm talking today with Franciscan Friar Father Sergius Robleski about mission. Let's get back to our topic. Blessed John Paul II introduced a new phrase into Catholic vocabulary when he called us to engage in the new evangelization. He stressed that something different was needed in terms of mission. And then we know that Pope Benedict XVI has called for a synod on the new evangelization next year in October. And he says that we have to re-propose the gospel to people today. He says we're in a new situation, and so we've got to speak of the gospel, give witness to the gospel in a new way. Why do you think that the popes are advocating this method, this focus? Is it meant to be a response to the growing secularization in Western culture?
That's right. In Western society especially, there has been an apostasy from Christ. So many nominal Christians, name only. The situation is so serious, especially in Europe, more so than in the U.S., where, for instance, 2% of the people of the Catholics go to church. That's a sign that they have already turned away from Christ, never given him any thought, no interest in him whatsoever. The gospel has become stale for them. And that's why the Pope, seeing that this is a spreading phenomenon, that there's need of re-proposing the gospel, bringing to the attention of those who were baptized but never evangelized, to learn about the gospel.
Now, this is significant, but doesn't it say something about how we have appropriated the attitudes, the concerns of Jesus? Are we're not living countercultural lives?
That's precisely the problem. The Catholics, generally speaking, first of all, did not nourish the Christianity they inherited. They may have picked up some knowledge in grade school, maybe even high school, and after that, no attention to it whatsoever, no nourishing of their understanding of Christianity. That's one thing. Secondly, they were not living differently. They were not following the gospel in a radical way, because if you follow the gospel in a radical way, you will be different, and you will resist the secularism that is like a pall that overshadows everything in society.
How do you think media affects us?
The media have had a profound effect on minds, on everybody's mind. We take in a philosophy of life that is counter the gospel. It allows for only one-dimensional reality. There's only one dimension, what you see, hear, and feel. The invisible is a fantasy. There's nothing to it. That's why Christianity finds it hard to be, it's not easy to sell it, because you can't see it, you can't touch it, it's an invisible thing. And with this scientific mentality, we have a difficulty going beyond the visible.
But John Paul II also said that the primary and irreplaceable way to be on mission is witness, the witness of our lives. Does that not make visible Christianity?
Yes, that's why he's insisting on a living witness, because if you just talk about Christianity to others, that isn't going to be convincing. They have to see you living it, the way you talk, the way you live your life at home and so on. They have to see that. Then you're giving a living witness. You're radiating Jesus in that way. Otherwise, they can't see it.
Yes. And it seems that we have to be concerned about the quality of our relationships in promoting Christianity. So we build up the body of Christ.
That's right. At any rate, this business of radiating Christ is, shall we say, is something that happens if you are totally committed to Him and try to live like Him.
Yes, yes. You mentioned to me before we started this show that you had a good prayer from Blessed Cardinal Newman, and would you like to share that with our listeners?
Yes, I think it's a good way to close what we've been talking about. Blessed Cardinal Newman composed a prayer called Radiating Christ, and here's the way it goes. Dear Jesus, help me to spread thy fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with thy spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of thine. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel thy presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as thou shinest, so to shine as to be a light to others. Let me thus praise thee in the way thou dost love best, by shining on those around me. Let me preach thee without preaching, not by words, but by example. The evident fullness of the love my heart bears to thee. Amen.
Wonderful. That really that's what we should be doing, radiating Christ if we're going to be on mission. Thank you. We've talked about mission and the problem of the growing secularization, and now we're charged with implementing the new evangelization. So here in the Archdiocese, we're preparing a formation process for parishes called Becoming Missionary Disciples. If you want more information about our program, please call 312-534-3322. I'll repeat that number, 312-534-3322. Thank you, Father Sergius. Is there a telephone number where you can be contacted?
312-219-374-5931.
Thank you. For now, God bless you, and tune in next month for more Mission Matters Live. Be on mission wherever you are.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.